into it.
That's basically
let's just
how
go.
We just, everyone starts. Just, let's just keep talking.
That's,
and then
yeah.
we'll ease into it.
That's what the whole podcast thing is just us having a conversation with a mic next to us.
Just us having a conversation now without even having like
aside from the three questions that are standard.
Yeah.
We really just, that's all we do. We just have a conversation with somebody.
And now we should just do this all the time. We'll just record all of our conversations and then put them on the, and then put them out on the internet.
Now, what were you saying about they never would have ever believed that we could have got to 25?
Yeah. Like, well,
when we first talked about this, that's definitely kind of, that was kind of the consensus around the office. It's just like, oh God, go ahead. You
well,
know, whatever, just do it.
When I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy a podcast mic. We're going to try this out. And then they're like, yeah, it was a waste of money.
Well, and actually, when we first started, I think one of the first intentions that we had was for Roundtable. To
yes.
supplement Roundtable trainings
yeah.
and the actual meeting was through a podcast.
Right.
And then it grew into, well, why don't we go out there and interview these people that we're meeting that are really cool and dynamic.
Right.
That we should have relationships with. And it's grown into something way bigger than the Roundtable thing.
Yeah, well,
we're
think,
still using it for that, but
if you think 25, that's half a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing this for half a year now.
Consistently,
every Friday.
Which,
and there was only about maybe one or two weeks where we were a little panicked on finding
right.
someone.
Otherwise, we had some in the bank
yeah.
that we could use.
And so, it wasn't even that we were panicked about finding someone. It was just the people that we had lined up, we weren't able to get at the right time.
Right,
or,
right.
No, but 25.
Well,
like, that's insane.
And if you look at it in another way, too, that's 25 opportunities we've had to build a relationship with someone.
Right.
Through scouting.
Right.
And we have even more than that, right? Or is that
well,
counting the
no,
scouts?
No, we haven't. I haven't counted. That doesn't count. This is only the Friday show, so it well, doesn't include
special
Ashton,
editions.
It doesn't include yeah.
Yeah, so it's even more than that. But it's really given us more of a connection to our community
mm-hmm.
and the leaders,
right?
And even the boys.
Exactly.
With those interviews that we've had with the boys, I mean, priceless. Unbelievable, some of the things they've come up with, and through no prompting of us,
exactly.
you know, through what we were talking about, they just brought it up. And it really kind of rejuvenated us and fired us up again to say, hey, we are doing this for a good reason. You know,
well,
this it's for the kids.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in Michigan, and I gave a presentation to a whole room mm. full of district executives on the potential of using a podcast in your district. And one person said, what have you seen are the benefits of, like, the physical benefits?
Right.
So then I turned, I had a form to hand them out. And I'm like, well, look at this page. And on the page I wrote, exploring chair, a person on our finance team, a new person on our activities committee, an awesome relationship with the Putnam that we hadn't had before.
Right.
We, you know, bigger opportunities with the River Bandits and with, you know, we have these
oh, yeah.
huge opportunities out there that we had not taken advantage of before, and the people that we've met now are on our committees, and it's just really opened doors for us. Look at Scout Sister Spa Night that we would never have thought of,
right?
You know, outside of these conversations,
right? And that's the thing, we're seeing a lot more networking opportunities through this, because we're just coming in, we just want to get to know them.
Right.
It's not like we're specifically asking them for something or a handout right away.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to know who they are and what they have to offer. And if that will benefit our scouting audience in
right.
Catan. And taking that and turning it into something way more has been really neat to see.
Yeah.
Really
well,
neat.
And if you think about it, the first, like, handful are people that are friends. You know what I mean? Now, we called up and we were like, hey, let's test this out. Paul,
mm-hmm.
Rich, Jessica,
yep.
Ryan was in that first one.
We
I know Miller
all,
time.
We all are in contact. We're in contact with them almost weekly, I would say, with most of those people. That's the truth.
But then when it became to the point where we're reaching out to people that we've either, A, never talked to before, you know what I mean, or they don't know us from Adam, and there's definitely some of our list, people I cold called and said, hey, we'd like you to be on our podcast.
Nabby Zoo is one of them that I thought.
Yeah.
They probably think we're coming to get a discounted rate.
Right.
Or to see if we can hold an event there. And we didn't want to do any of that.
Right.
All we wanted to do was talk to them and see what they had to offer on their end. And it's good publicity for them. You know, it's good marketing for them. But we're not necessarily asking for a whole bunch on our end. We just want to get to know them. And well, I think that's gone really far.
Another one where it was, actually, this is our first, like, cold call, was the Swamp Base.
Yeah.
I just happened to be down there. Yeah, you know, I just happened to be down there at the time, and we'd only had, like, two or three at that time. So to try and sell two guys on
what it was,
we have a podcast, we would like you to be on it, we've had three episodes come out.
Can I interview you? It's worth your time, I promise. That one has definitely grown into a good relationship. I mean, you can drop those guys a note anytime.
Yeah.
I know we've got troops that are interested in possibly going to help, you know, or going on a trek down there.
And I've told any troop, if they want to go, I will try and make sure I can go with
right.
them.
Right. It is something, it's like a hidden gem. Yeah. And we had no idea that it was even there. We weren't marketing for it. We weren't doing any promotions or anything. We were always Sea Base and Northern Tier and all these different places. But we had no idea Swamp Base even existed. So that
was... And now that's the one I want to go to the most. It's funny because I've heard of these other ones all my life. I've been to Philmont, but yet now I really want to go to Swamp Base.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, so we're here and we're actually having a pulse. Taking the pulse of Andy and myself today.
And the cool thing is we're in Ian's office, which we've never interviewed anybody in Ian's office.
We're totally changing it up.
Yeah.
So, real quick, before we get started into some really heavy questions, I'm sure. This past weekend, we had the popcorn kickoff. And Andy and I, we've come up with a couple different ideas over the past couple years for popcorn videos.
Yeah.
And the first one went over really well. The next one went over really well, we thought. But we're hoping this year's does pretty well, too.
Right.
And it's called The Blacklist. And if you haven't seen it, we'll get it out there and put it on. You know, it's on our Facebook, and we've shared it. But little teaser to get things going, and we hope you guys like it. Just a little fun to have with the popcorn sale. It's trying to make it so it's not the same old, same old. So it's a little more fun, and we're looking at the sale in different perspectives, different ways. So hopefully you enjoy that, but I want to make sure that we get a little plug in there for that because Catan Productions, is that what you called it?
Catan Productions.
Catan Productions.
Yeah.
Has been at work putting together scripts and filming and cutting and editing. And I thought the first one was pretty cool. I think the first little promo was pretty cool. acting was horrible. Horrendous.
Horrible.
But.
Horrible.
But I think it intrigues some people to see what else we have in store for them, which is neat to think that there's people out there that are thinking, okay, well, what else do they have in store
for us? I think we can promise that the acting gets better over the next couple videos.
Because we won't be in it. Right?
As much. Oh, well, so, Ian, you're older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I want you to give a brief history of how you got to the Yellow Council.
Yeah, all right. Well, I knew Mike Meadows through his wife. His wife and my wife teach together in the same building. Jody, Mike's wife, teaches third grade. My wife teaches first grade. So when... Now, Jody had taught for a year or two before Emily came in. So when Emily came in, they became pretty good friends right away. And they'd go out to lunch together and things like that. And so we started to hang out as couples, kind of socially. And Mike was at the time working for the Scouts. And I had no idea that there was even a position that was paid in the organization of scouting. So I was really intrigued by it. I had, at the time, I was finishing up school and I was going for an L.Ed. degree. And so I was really intrigued by the whole youth aspect of it, and I had a bunch of questions for him, and he seemed like he really liked it. So anyway, fast forward several years, I was working in a warehouse that house John Deere construction and forestry parts, mm-hmm. just right there in Mount Joy, and working between 60 and 70 hours a week. And I had a little one. Ellie was here, and she was a couple years old. And I had Owen that was just about ready to come. And it was just not the right job for me at the time. But I did it anyway. I did it for about a year. Anyway, I saw Mike sometime within that year, and he always said, hey, if I have anything and you're interested, I'll let you know. And so he called me up one day and said, hey, I've got an opening. What do you think about this? Well, I had a ton of questions, obviously.
Right.
And the rest is kind of, I mean, I went through, I think there was 4 or 5 different interviews. The flexibility really appealed to me. That was mm-hmm. one of the things, you know, I can be at Ellie's classroom stuff, but at the same time, I can make sure that I cover all my meetings at night and
right.
things like that. But yeah, it was Mike that brought me in. It was the most extensive interview process I've ever been through. That's no kidding. And I've had several jobs, but, and then Mike was my direct boss when I started, and he has been ever since. And, it's worked out great. I really have enjoyed myself, even coming from the small district, now to the larger district. Really, I think being in the smaller district gave me a good foundation mm-hmm. to come up to this larger district, because now I truly appreciate the kind of resources that Scott County has to offer.
Right.
Because we didn't have the same in Clinton County and Jackson County.
Right.
And we were working with what we had, but coming down here, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unlimited. But I had a limited stint in Scouts. I was a wee below one in fourth grade, and basically I joined because my buddy was doing it, and his dad was the den leader. And I remember making a letter holder that was in the shape of a dog, and it was a Dalmatian dog. And I remember shooting a lot of pool because it was in his basement, and so we shot a lot of pool. So that was pretty much the extent. Now I still have my wee below uniform. And Andy's pointed out, because I couldn't remember some of the pins that I had on that uniform, but he's pointed out what some of them were. So
yeah.
I earned some things along the way. I just couldn't remember a whole lot. But I've also, over the last several years, developed a real deep appreciation for the program. So much so that I would definitely offer it to my son when he becomes of age as a good program that I would trust building character in my
right.
son. So, at first I wasn't sure. I had no idea
right.
what it was going to be like. But I've meeting the volunteers throughout the council and the two districts that I've been in. These are people that I would definitely feel comfortable having my son around and having them teach him some life lessons and skills.
And having known your son, I think that he's in desperate need of some values and life
lessons. He's
going
to need it. More than anyone, he is going to need it. Now, the neat thing with this, and I'm rambling here, but the neat thing with kind of my journey with the Scouts is one of the first volunteers I ever met was Andy. And that's no kidding. I did all these interview process, and I did through everything, and I went to a round table, and it was probably, I think it was the first week I was alone on the job.
Yeah.
And so I met Andy that day at round table, and I thought, okay, here's a young person, seems pretty excited about it. Little did I know that we would be working in tandem
right.
years later and really trying to push the envelope wherever we can in
right.
scouting. And it's really funny to see, because I remember even the time that we were sitting at Zach's house.
Yeah.
And you had graduated. You were looking for a teaching job. And I had told Zach that there was an opening, because Zach told me he was interested.
Right.
Well, I didn't really think you were that interested at first. And I mentioned it when we were sitting on his patio. And you're like, well, I want to apply.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. You applied the next day.
Next
I think
day.
You
And then
you
I
went through quick.
I went through 2 weeks of rough interviews like every
yeah.
other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you went through real quick and they hired you. I remember going into Brad's office. Brad was the assistant scout executive at the time. And I said, hey, Andy Green, who's a unit commissioner for me at the time, mm-hmm. that's what you were. And I said, he's just graduated. He's got 2 degrees. And he thinks he's interested in maybe trying out for this and this open position. And he goes, oh, I know Andy. I like him. Yeah. And so I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was going to be good for me.
Yeah, and that's the first time anyone's ever said, I like Andy.
Yeah. So that's why I was really taken aback by it. No, it's really weird to see how all of our relationships have changed over the years, because Zach was also one of my volunteers.
Yeah.
You brought Zach to me as a volunteer.
Yeah, Zach is one of my best friends, not only from college, but also from high school and middle school.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up through the scouting program.
It's crazy to think about how things have progressed and where they're at right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, enough of me talking. How about you, Andy?
Well,
now, I know you're an eagle.
Yeah, so I started as a wolf. Like, as far as I know, the Tiger program wasn't what it is today. We're looking at like mid-90s.
Yeah.
And I started as a wolf, and I remember the wolves met right across the street from the school in the basement of some house. So at the end of the day, you'd walk over, you know, to your den meeting.
And you had your den meeting?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then I remember because it was right after school, my mom would make me wear my uniform to school.
How'd that go over?
And then I'm like, and I thought they were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm like, and it wasn't like me as a stylish thing, because I was never stylish at the time. I've corrected that since, because now pretty much everything I wear is stylish. But at the time I wasn't. I was the kid who would tuck his t-shirt into his sweatpants.
Wait, so, would you wear sweatpants with your scout, your class A?
Oh, of course. I lived in sweatpants. I never wore jeans. So
you
I
didn't
never,
like jeans.
I never bought a pair of jeans until I was a junior in college.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, and I've only owned like 3 or 4 pairs since then. So.
I bet you wear khakis instead.
I used to wear khakis all the time.
Right.
In an elementary school, I wore sweatpants. Or like those swishy pants that you'd hear them walking down the hallway. But anyway, so when I was a Weebolo, my dad and other dad stepped up to be the leaders, and my dad made sure that we were able to earn all 20 Weeblo pins. Like, they made sure of that. They made sure, you know, our scouting. So I remember coming down to the field museum, or the family museum, going over to Augustana and looking at rocks. Or, you know, we were always doing something for these Weeblo pins.
Well, and as a side note, and a credit to your dad, shout out to Ed here. Ed was a volunteer, still is a volunteer.
And he stepped up to be a volunteer to be the Weeblo leader.
Yeah, and now. So that's how many years?
That had to have been 98.
Okay. So we're looking at 16 years.
Yeah, 98, 97.
16 years or so that you're only in the program another, what, maybe 6 years?
Maybe.
So he's been doing it for 10 years beyond you eagling out.
Because when I, so my fourth grade year, Titanic came out. Okay, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was my sixth grade year when the millennium happened. And then, like, 8th grade, 9/11. So that's kind of the timetable that we're looking
at.
So I think my first year at Loud Thunder was 99. So it was, like, pre-millennium.
Sure.
And then when I remember telling my dad when we were going to cross over into Boy Scouts. And out of all the Weeblos, we had been together from, like, Wolves and Bears and Weeblos.
Which is pretty cool.
But out of that, I think only about 3 of us crossed over into Boy Scouts. And then I was the only one out of that group. Then ended up getting Eagle. But I remember I told him, I'm only going to do this for a year. Because I thought it was like Cub Scouts. You know what I mean? Where it's like it's based on a year
program.
Seems
pretty common. That's what a lot of the
Weeblos
think.
My second meeting was an Eagle ceremony. And I was like, I want that. Like, I want to do that. And I totally changed my... And so I got Eagle when I was like 16. And then I had enough merit badges and enough time to end up getting 5 Eagle Palms.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I have no idea how many merit badges I had total, but I know that afterwards I found out that it was like a troop record, which that wasn't something I had like set out for.
And
like, Zach had like merit badges in the 80s. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't...
How many palms did he have? And how many... Can you earn as many as
you
possibly
can
before you're 18? Right?
Yeah, it's like every 3 months or something.
Okay.
So you can earn as many as you can before you turn 18.
Gotcha.
Zach got his Eagle later than me, so I don't know how much of a timeline he had. But now I knew that in 642, the troop I was in Clinton, there was boys that were trying to beat my record of merit badges, which it was like 45, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
But you had set the bar.
But they wanted to like beat, and I'm like, and to me that was awesome, because it's like, yeah, whatever, blow it out of the water. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's
you
that's
were
not
trying
something
to hang
that
on
is sacred to me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool that it was like a set point for
people.
Well, but absolutely. Now the thing is, I was never on camp staff. You know what I mean? Like, I helped out at a lot of different things, so everybody kind of knew me, and I was involved in the OA, but I was never on camp staff. I never really felt part of that group of guys, you know what I mean? But I always really enjoyed the scouting program. I went to two jamborees. I've been to every NOAC since 2002. NOAC is the National Order of the Arrow Conference. I've been to Philmont, you know what I mean? And I got to go on a backpacking trip in high school with the church group because I was an Eagle Scout and they asked me to go along with them because we went to Colorado and climbed some 14ers. So that was some kind of cool things that I got out of my scout experience that, you know, I was more than happy sitting in the air conditioning reading a book. You know what I mean? And so when I was in high school and people would say, what did you do this summer? It's like, oh, I hiked 80 miles up in the mountains. And you know what I mean?
Right.
That was kind of cool. You know what I mean? To be able to say that.
How do you think, because you had a lot of background, I had very little.
Yeah.
But I think we work really well together.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have that scouting background, but you have that.
Right.
How do you think somebody new coming into this professional position, do you think there's a preference? Or is this just somebody that's...
I think that by the time you had gotten there, I'd been helping out Ben, who you know was before you.
Sure.
And I had been helping out you. And so I think by the time I had applied for this job, I was looking at scouting much more as a business anyway. Because really with this role, you're looking at scouting as a business. How can we grow a business?
Yeah.
You know, how can we support a business and not necessarily the day-to-day aspects of it, which is very important. You know what I mean? But
it's funny how it all falls in place because you have to have the day-to-day in order to even have the business. So we definitely have an appreciation for that, and we understand that we have to put on good programming, but at the same time, we have to make sure we get the boys into the program to give them a good program.
And if you look at especially like our partnership before I was a professional. I mean, you were up in Meskwaki before Catan was even a thought in our minds. We were working on Friends of Scouting. We were working on the membership team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Working on unit service. Like, that's where we were...
Yep.
That's what we were working together in. You know what I mean? That's what we're doing today.
Now.
So the one... So if I had, like, a regret about my scouting career, it's that I was never in the venturing program. It didn't exist. It didn't exist for me.
Right.
It was budding.
Opportunity.
Yeah, it was budding in the Quad Cities when, you know what I mean? Because it was, when I was like on my way out, there was a lot more people I knew were venturers.
Right.
But it definitely didn't exist in Clinton.
Do you think if you were in the venturing program, you would have obtained the silver award? Yeah, the silver award.
God, I hope so.
Really?
You know what I mean?
That
would have
been something
really,
you would have shot for?
Yeah.
Just like you did with Eagle? Or would you have been in it more for the social aspect? You would have tried to find the achievements too, or achieve those?
I would, because I don't know about any social aspect, especially if it's co-ed. That's, you know, I mean, that's just more of Andy being awkward. So,
well, see, that's why, like, I thought that you were regretting
I have my shirt tucked into my sweatpants over here.
Well, by that time, you were in khakis.
I was in khakis. cargo pants.
See, that's what I thought would have attracted you to the program, is that it was co-ed, and that's why you maybe regretted it a little bit.
No, it's actually like, that was something I never attained. It's the same thing where I look back, I'm like, I wish I had a Tiger Cub Award. You know what I mean? Tiger Award, that was out of my control. Now I look back and I think, what if I could have started a venture crew in Clinton? And I know that we had talked about it. You know what I mean? Like there was talk about it. But that's definitely something that I wish I would have had the opportunity for, having a venturing program. So, yeah, other than that, you know. So, really quick, I want to touch on something. In one of our other podcasts, we had talked about, I think it was Hillary's podcast, Hillary Tanner.
Okay.
We talked about how I think that every dad fits into a TV trope. And you asked...
It was Hillary.
You asked,
yes.
who do I fit into? So I want to ask you first who you think you are. And then I'll tell you who I think you are.
I don't know.
Or I guess, who do you want to be?
Oh, well, obviously, I mean, Phil Dunphy's hilarious, and he just he turned the phrase like crazy. I mean, he's just he's funny,
right?
And I think he's still a good, responsible parent. You know what I mean? I don't see him just being all buddy buddy all the time. Thing is,
Phil Dunphy loves his children.
Yep, and he's just hilarious, and that's probably why. And I'm not hilarious. You know what I mean? I know that, but. If I were to try to obtain or try to be like someone, it would be him because I think he's funny. He's really funny. So, yeah.
So I put a lot of thought on this because you asked me.
I figured you would.
You asked me. You're like you had asked me who. So, have you ever seen the show Louie on FX?
I have, but I don't know if.
All right, there was I was after you you were I was watching episode Louie, and I was like, that's Ian, like. Not as Louie, because Louie, like, isn't the best person in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
thanks a
does
lot.
Horrible things. But the way that he, like, the way that he, like, talks to his kids and, like, treats his kids. And I don't.
This is coming off. It's going to be horrible.
The thing is, like, Louie loves his kids. And his thing isn't, like, these are the values I'm instilling in you. It's, like, grow your own values.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, these are the things that you need to hold dear. You know what I mean? Where that's what he, like, focuses on. You know what I mean? Where the thing is, like, Louie in that show is a really good dad. You know what I mean? And his whole thing is, like, there's an episode where he has his girls on the subway, and the one, he tells them, you know, they go through the subway rules. Like, what happens if one of you gets off the subway? You stay there. You know what I mean? You do that. And they go through, like, the subway rules. And then the one girl gets off the subway thinking, like, no, it's fine. Like, I'll be here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the thing is, like, you could just see the terror in Louie's face where it's like, my child's gone. We went through these rules. But in her, you know what I mean? And then when he finds her, he's just like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? And he just talks to her like a real person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that was the thing is he talks to her like a real person. He's letting her figure out, like, her role, where she belongs in life. You know what I mean? And that's where I think of patterns on you is that's one of the things I've seen you be a father, not only with, like, two kids, but now you have three kids. Like, you've added a child since you started here. And you really let your kids become who they are and not, like, a clone of Ian.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want anybody to be a clone of me. For sure, I don't
but
want
I
that
think
to happen.
Same, yeah, I think Phil Dunphy is the same. Like, if you look at the three Dunphy kids, they're all completely different.
Right.
And they're like...
And he encourages them, I mean, in different ways,
to
be themselves. And that's something that, you know, Emily and I really, before we even started having kids, we said, look, there's going to be times where they're going to make mistakes.
Right.
And are we going to, you know, are we going to berate them? Are we going to tell them, you know, that you shouldn't ever do this? No, we want to talk it through. And that's another thing we wanted to make sure that we did with our kids was talk to them like they are human beings.
Right.
You know, we're not going to talk to them like they're babies. We're not going to talk to them like they are 3 and 7. Talk to them just like we would talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And because hopefully... Then when they get in another situation and an adult is talking to them, they can hold a conversation.
Right.
They're not super shy, which we're working on that, you know. But that's tough. That's tough. When, you know, when you got kids that are younger, that's something that I always wanted to make sure that they had their own personality, that they could talk to adults or other kids no problem. With no reservations, they can go up and talk to somebody. And honestly, you said you had a regret about... your Boy Scouting experience. Well, for me, in high school, it was that I didn't talk to enough people.
Right.
Yeah, and I wish I would have totally just mingled a lot more, you know, and talked to a lot more people. There was no harm in that at all. But, and that's what I'm trying to get my kids to hopefully do, is that everybody deserves your time.
Right.
And going up to them and saying hi and how's it going, good morning, that's important. And that might be the difference in that person's day. So, and I wish I would have done a lot more of that in high school. I really do. Because Emily was great at that. No, and seriously. And that's why people, and I'm bragging on my wife a little bit here, but that's why people remember Emily is because she did take the time to talk to people. And she really expressed an interest.
Right.
And no matter who you were or what you did or what you were in or what sport or whatever it was, she always took time to say hello and whatever. And that meant a lot to people. So, I wish I would have done a lot more of that, and hopefully my kids, if you're listening, you better be talking to everybody. So
they're not listening because they're just talking to everybody.
That's right.
So really quick, before we go into our questions, like, if this was all to end tomorrow, what's the one thing that you would take from your experience here in Catan?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Well, it's only been about a year, but in that year, I've completely learned the value of relationship building.
Yeah.
And I'm talking at the unit level, I'm talking with the youth, I'm talking with the unit leaders, and I'm talking with the community, because that has completely grown into something that I don't know if we ever even really envisioned how
right.
what it's gotten to now. And it's going to keep growing, too. But that relationship building, how important it is to go talk to people and shake their hand and find out who they are and what their interests are and, you know, maybe have some common ground, that has taken us to a whole new level. And that's something I would take anywhere.
Right.
If I left here and I went out to the classroom, you know, if I was going to teach again or something like that, I would definitely put more stress on the relationship building aspect of it, you know, anywhere, in any kind of business situation or anything like that. So, yeah, I think that's extremely important, something that I've learned over the past year and how just building that relationship grows into something that is unbelievable.
Right.
So, how about you?
No, I think, yeah, kind of the same thing. I'll tell people, like, I love my job. You know what I mean? Like, my job is my life. You know what I mean? And I don't think people, like, realize how serious I am, where it's like, no, like, I get to go to my job and be around the people I want to be around.
Right.
And,
right. And that's something else. I mean, you know, we work with a lot of good people.
Yeah.
I never wake up in the morning and think, oh, I got to go to work today. Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Because I get to hang out with cool people. People that have good ideas. People that want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't just satisfied with the status quo. They want to keep going.
Right.
And that is unique. Because I've been in a lot of different jobs where everybody's just there to do their time.
Right.
And get home.
The other thing I love is that we truly have no idea how any day looks coming into it. And
every
I can't stress that enough. But, like, I feel like our job is made up of every other job. Like, there was one day where we spent the morning touring the popcorn warehouse, helping them move stuff, like moving stuff in a warehouse in our dress clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had lunch with, like, a guy who works at John Deere, you know, having a professional meeting with him.
Yep.
And then we spent most of the afternoon at the camp, walking around in our dress clothes. You know what I mean? Like, there's days where I'm over at Capri College, you know, for an hour, and then we're at the fairgrounds, and then we're in schools talking with kids. I get to go to schools and read with kids, and you know, in what job can you, you know, at one point be having a meeting with the superintendent of the schools, and then the next time you're, you know what I mean? Like,
you're talking to a kindergartner, you know, on a level where you want them to understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
So you've got so many different levels that you have to speak to. You know, you have to, the superintendent, you got to talk to him in a certain way because he demands that kind of respect.
Right.
You know, he holds that kind of respect. And then you go all the way down to that kindergartner and you're like, hey, guys.
Well,
and you got to meet him on that level.
And then we go into a middle school.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, and that was something where it was, we tried to go into middle school for the first time, and we had no idea what to expect.
Right.
And the thing is, like, today's Monday, we're recording this on Monday, we have no idea what Friday looks like.
No.
We have some, you know, we have our meeting scheduled.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we have no idea.
What's going to pop up in between?
We have no idea.
Nope.
And, you know, we could get a call tomorrow that one of our units, the leaders have moved.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders don't want to do it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, none of the boys have returned. Like, it's just insane.
I know it.
So, let's go into our questions.
All right. So, let me start.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to just alternate questions? So, I'll ask the first question, you answer it, and then you ask me that same question back? How's that sound?
We'll do that.
So, first question. Favorite current TV show?
Okay. So, obviously, I have a lot. Because I love story that continues each week. So I'm not a fan of the one and done, like, mm-hmm. Monster of the Week kind mm-hmm. of stories. And I think that stems from, I really like comic books, which it's, you know, one comes right. out a month. And you have to, so after a year, you have a whole story. So I love House of Cards. Yep. I love Orange is the New Black. Which, you know, when those are on, I watch them all in a row. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I know that.
I remember Orange is the New Black came out right before Day Camp.
When Orange is the New Black, when I finished the last episode of Orange is the New Black, the sun was coming up. and I just can't stop.
I enjoy it. I did not.
Oh, but my favorite show.
Yeah.
The show where if you were to say, like, what show can you not miss each week?
Yeah.
The Daily Show okay. with Jon Stewart.
And that's awesome. That's a really good show.
I think Jon Stewart may be the smartest man on television. And if he's, and I know that they have writers and everything, but, and everyone always says, well, he's a left-wing comedian. What is he? But if people actually were to listen to what Jon Stewart is saying.
Right.
Like, and they were actually, you know, take his word not as a left-wing comedian, which he's trying to paint it to be, as just an American with an opinion, I think that Jon Stewart's one of the smartest men in this country.
Yeah. No, he is. I love that show, too. And that's something that... I'll go in spurts with that show. depends on what's going on in the news, too.
Yeah.
Because if it's something that I think that he'll have a really good take on, then I'll make sure that I tune in for that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. House of Cards, I haven't got into yet, but Orange is the New Black is great. Mm-hmm. That's a really good show. I enjoy that one, too. So, yeah, those are Andy's picks for current TV show. So, mine. Mine is pretty new, and it's on Showtime, and it's called The Nick.
The Nick.
And it's got Clive Owen is the main character, and he is a surgeon at about the turn of the century, so 1900s, somewhere in there. It is downtown New York, not in the best part of town.
Right.
And he is trying to... They're busting into surgery. So they are just getting into surgical, you know, maneuvers and techniques and everything, and he's trying all kinds of different things. And the hospital just got electricity. And it's like the new the new thing. You know what I mean? So
this is on Showtime?
Yeah, and it's fantastic. Steven Soderbergh directs it.
Oh, okay.
And it's awesome. Just the look of it is really cool.
Right.
The acting is phenomenal. And the story is really cool. Because at some point, and we don't realize this, we just take it for granted. At some point, we were practicing just rudimentary ways of surgery, methods yeah. of surgery. And these guys are trying to push, you know, so he's working on pigs and any kind of, you know, there's typhoid going through New York City. And so he's trying to buy cadavers. You know, he's buying them right. so that he can work on them. They were trying to cauterize a wound, so they were winding up this big machine and trying to get it hot, and it started a fire on the patient.
Mm.
And so the nurse tried to grab the cauterization tool, grabbed it, and she was standing in water. She was done.
Wow.
It was just crazy. And they're in like a big, like a kind of a theater when they're doing these mm-hmm. surgeries so other surgeons can look around. And there's so much more to it than that, but that's the kind of thing that I really like to see, that snapshot. So it's a cool show. It's really cool.
I heard a comedian the other day talk about how back then, think of how many people could have survived if they would just wash their hands.
That's all I needed was a little soap and water.
I'll have to check this one out.
It's really
I don't have Showtime right now, though.
I probably should have canceled it, but this show's kept it around. And so that's what happened
with Homeland. That's what happened with Homeland with me.
The only reason I'm keeping Showtime is for that show.
But really quick before we move on, I think that both of us would highly recommend, it's not a current show, but everyone needs to go on Netflix and watch The Inbetweeners.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
More laughs have been had in this office about The Inbetweeners.
It is completely inappropriate in almost every way.
Every way.
So don't think that you're getting into this. Do not have your kids in the room when you're...
Yeah.
It is very adult and very, and very funny.
It's about British, like, kids in a British high school type setting, and them just trying to find their place in the world.
It's so funny.
But, I told Ian about it, and when I got into it, Ian's wife was in the hospital, and so Ian had a lot of time to kind of, you know, watching betweeners, and I don't think that it's a decision that any of us regret.
Not at all.
And I don't think you've seen the movie
yet. I haven't seen the movie yet.
See, you messed
up. I'm holding off on that. but you said it's just as good.
Oh, it's
which,
just
see, that's why I don't want to be disappointed, because the two seasons that I've seen are just...
You haven't watched the third season
every
yet?
No, maybe I haven't watched the third then. I think I've caught up
with
everything.
The third season, like, just came out on Netflix a little while ago.
Then no, I'd, maybe not. How, I like, a little while ago, how long ago?
May?
Maybe? I don't know. I'll have to check.
Yeah,
now.
Well, now
I'm intrigued. I would watch it again if I...
I can only think of one moment that happened in the third season where if I was to be like, remember this? You'd be like, oh, yeah. But I don't want to say it on the podcast.
Don't say that.
All right, so our next question.
Yep.
We know that our bosses don't listen to this. So if you could have any job, any dream job outside of this one, what would it be?
Dream job, anything. I wouldn't shoot too high.
we should rephrase this question as, like, you have a clean slate. You're starting over from day one.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the skills you have now. If there was a job that you wanted to work on your entire life and you think, now I would be good at that, what would it be?
Well, honestly, I know your answer will differ from mine because we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I would teach.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really would. And probably like a high elementary, maybe fourth, fifth grade, something like that. which, you know, who knows what the future holds, but
right.
I think that would be very similar in that I would enjoy every day.
Right.
I don't think I would stress out too much. I think I would just have fun
right.
all day long. You know, just have fun with the kids. And, you know, I think that would be a great job. I really do. That would be my dream job. Just and anywhere. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it could be in Iowa, Illinois, wherever. So Andy?
So I've thought about this a lot because we ask this question to everybody. And I kind of have two answers. And the one is like an evolution where my first thought was, like, I want to be Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
But I thought, I don't want to be Jimmy Fallon. I want to be the head writer for Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
Or the head writer for SNL. You know what I mean? And I thought, but now I've been thinking about that as well. Because I see there's three different levels of comedy. You have your comic.
Yeah.
Well, you have your comedian. A comedian is someone like Sandra Bullock, like Melissa McCarthy. Someone who, or like... you know, it's like an actor who reads lines funny.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you no,
they don't write their
something.
Own.
Yeah. And I mean, they may dab. Like, Melissa McCarthy is an improv person.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? They're given a script, and they can present that script and be funny.
Sure.
You have your comic, the person who stands up in the club every night, you know what I mean, working the pavement, trying to get an audience, and you know... like a stand-up comedian, is writing their own material, trying to get their own brand of funny out in the ether. And you know how much I would love to be that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know that you know how much I would love to be that guy. you know, I would love to be like Chris Rock or Lewis Black. Like, that's the kind of style I probably
right.
would try and have.
Right.
Because I think every comedian is based on, like, another
somebody
comedian
else. Yep.
At some point. Like, I love, like, Bill Hicks' stuff, you know what I mean, where it's just real and raw and uncomfortable. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I like. But I thought, as much as I would love to be a comedian or a comic, there's something above that that I think, like, not very many people achieve, and that's humorist.
Yeah.
Like David Sedaris, Mark Twain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone who can write, who truly writes funny.
Funny. Yeah.
And can be a humorist. And I think that that's what I would want to be. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I would love to be the head writer for SNL, for Jimmy Fallon, if I could be, like, known as, if they were, like, you know, in my obituary, if they were, like, humorist Andy Green, that would be the pinnacle. And I don't know how many people actually would, like, thrive for that. The other thing is I'd love to be a...
You could still shoot for that. I mean, that's something that you could... I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Right now, I mean, I would... If you died tomorrow, I'd put that on your obituary.
Well, what's funny is that, like... In the last 2 months, and I think some of the funniest conversations I have, which I've always said that my friends are the funniest people I know, but some of the funniest conversations that I can think of in the recent months have been, like, you and I talking after 9:30 at night. You know what I mean? Like both of us are just like strung out, and we're just
tired.
And you're one who you just let me rift on things, and we just see where we go. And I think that has been and then the next day I'll be like, because I want to write these things down, you know, and then and you'll be like, I don't remember.
I don't remember what it is.
But as it's going, it's like that is the funniest. Those are like the funniest conversations. The other thing is, I would love to be the head, like the campaign manager for a national campaign.
Yeah, I would have guessed you would have been something like that. I would have liked to be that.
Congressman, president. What I would like to be the campaign manager for a
national worked on some campaigns.
Yeah, and I ran my mom's school board campaign
successfully.
That's right. And I will most likely run it again next year if she asks. So last question.
All right.
Who do you meet?
What do you eat? Okay. So mine's pretty typical on who I would meet, but the reasoning behind it may be a little bit different. I'd eat steak I could eat steak every single day. Steak with some mushrooms on it, and I know you probably think that's disgusting.
I'm not a big mushroom.
I don't love mushrooms. It would be Abraham Lincoln. And the reason why is I cannot think of another human being who has gone through so much and seen what his struggle has gone through and actually seen the end result. Although it was short-lived, and everyone's life is affected by what he did.
Right. I've never thought about it that way.
The amount of stress that was on that man, I can't even imagine. So when I have a bad day or stressful day here, and I walk away, I'm thinking, you know what? He had to decide. And either he had to decide one way or the other, and he was darned if he did, darned if he didn't, because during the Civil War, people were going to die regardless.
Right.
And all of them were Americans. And he was trying to preserve that.
Right.
So even though there were people in the South, these rebels, he was killing Americans through the Civil War. So that had to just weigh heavy on him. And I don't know how he did it.
Right.
What an amazing character he must have had. And I wouldn't ask him any real poignant questions. I just want to hear him talk.
Have you seen the movie?
Awesome. It's awesome. Yep.
That movie, I loved every second of it.
Yep.
And my favorite line is when Mary Todd said, "History will remember me as a woman who ruined your happiness." So steak with Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. There's some other people I'd probably like to meet too, but I just think, you know, if you could have half hour, an hour with this guy who shaped pretty much all of our lives and how we interact with each other. I mean, what an awesome experience that'd be. So how about you?
Well, I put a lot of thought into this one. Because the first thing is, I would never turn down 10 more minutes with my grandma.
Yeah.
And I think that you know how much, you know, I miss my grandma. But at the same time, I don't want 10 more minutes with my grandma. You know what I mean? Like, I want another lifetime with my grandma.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could do a meal.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think I could have that and have to go through that process all over again.
Right.
So, but at the same time, like, everyone who I would have ever wanted to meet, like, I've met. Like, I've met Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I've met Neil deGrasse Tyson. I've met Jerry Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Like, just from my own experience being out in the world.
Right.
So I decided, and this is, like, the exact opposite of Abraham Lincoln. But what's funny is that it's the exact opposite of Abraham Lincoln for the same reason as Abraham Lincoln. I would have Giordano's Pizza with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
And now the thing is, I don't know if I would ever bring up the Kennedy assassination once. I want to know who this man was.
Yeah.
I want to know. And, you know, my favorite photograph of all time is the photo of him getting shot by Ruby. Not because he's being shot. I just think that there's so much happening in that photo.
Right. And the faces
I want to know this man. And the same way you said, Abraham Lincoln changed everyone's lives. So did Lee Harvey Oswald.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, for a completely different reason. Right.
And took a completely different route. But I watched, there was a lot of different things.
Because, last year was
history.
50th anniversary.
That's right. And I watched a lot of those. And there was a lot that I didn't know about him. But it would have been interesting. I would imagine him being somebody that's pretty reserved or quiet. But if there was a topic that was brought up that he felt strongly about, mm-hmm. which there was definitely a few, he would be one of those guys that would be, I mean, not Hitler-esque, but I mean, he would right. be that kind of person that would want to preach. He right. would be the guy that would say, okay, here's the deal, here's what I feel, and this is what you should think, too, you know.
I mean, think he's a Soviet defector.
Yeah.
Russian wife, you know, yep. came back to America. But in the end, there's still so, as much as we know about him, there's still so much mystery there,
yep.
too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, that's the, Andy would like to meet
an assassin. I want to meet somebody that was assassinated, so.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. So, before we wrap this up, what has been your favorite show or moment on The Pulse so far?
Oh.
Now, this is hard because it's like trying to choose, you know, which child you drag through the floor.
Right. No, and I hope nobody takes offense by us answering this question. Because
the thing is, we truly, like, every episode has something awesome about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that, and we've enjoyed making every one of them. Like, I truly can't say any one of them was a bad experience.
No, not at all. None of them.
But what's something, like, if this was to end tomorrow, what's the one thing that you would take away from
it? Well, as far as funny goes, our first one with Paul.
Yeah.
That'll make me laugh every time. And I don't know if anybody else finds it funny, but since we were there, and it was our first one, and we were totally struggling through it, and it was just funny because by the end, it just ended so good.
Right.
Like, we closed it out. It started real rough. And rough, not in our terms, because it was funny.
Yeah.
You know, it was really funny. But Paul was such a good sport. And then at the end when he said, not the mallards, I will laugh at that every single time. I can't remember how many times I listened to that, and I laughed every single time. But I know what we've talked about before. With Ashton, and I don't know if that's your favorite or not, but yeah. it's one of them, and it's up there. And it's not humorous. It really was the one that...
Well, and the thing with Ashton, and I actually played a clip from Ashton's when I was in Michigan. You and I were not in the mood to record a podcast.
I was drinking coffee. It was early in the morning.
We were not in the mood, and you were trying to... It wasn't like we were trying to talk each other out of it, but like things had... You know, it was after we blows up the... Why?
Yep.
Which was a good event, but things had happened that right. we were just like, eh, let's, you know, we were both kind of, you know, ready to go or ready to be done.
Yeah.
And we had talked about we wanted to do this podcast. We had never interviewed a youth before.
Right.
And then we were like, well, hey, you know, let's grab Ashton. We know Ashton's dad.
Right.
We're like, let's grab Ashton. Let's just see how this goes. And then, like, that 10-15 minutes, I think... recharged our batteries
big time
for the rest of the year.
Oh, we started setting up podcasts like crazy actually.
And just like it, hearing Ashton talk gave you and I a whole new outlook yeah. on scouting. And it's like I've been a scout since before I was younger than Ashton.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And
you know, because basically, and this is paraphrasing, but basically he said he just really appreciates the time that the adult leaders put in
right.
to the program. And for a kid who is in, I think he's in fourth grade.
He was in third grade when we
recorded. Third grade when
he
recorded. To recognize that and to think so highly of his unit leaders, that was awesome. And that totally made what we do going out in the schools and telling these kids that the Cub Scouts is the next, you know, it's the best thing that they have going for, you know, our program.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. We walked away and we were so pumped when we stopped the microphone. We're like, that was awesome. That was really good.
Within like 15 minutes, you and I went from like we're strung out. You know, it's been like a rough night, stressful morning.
Yeah.
To like this is the best job that anyone can
yeah.
ever have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the greatest
yeah.
thing.
It's like you know, a teacher if their student comes back and says, "You were my favorite teacher." You know what I mean? They
yeah.
name them and they're graduating high school. They still come back and visit them. You know,
right.
those kind of things. It really showed us that, not necessarily us as individuals, but the unit leaders out there that are having contact with these boys every day, they are making a difference.
Right.
In an impact in their lives. And I don't know if they get to hear that enough. I think they think, okay, I got to come up with another plan for this mm-hmm. den meeting, and I got to do this and that and the other, and I got to juggle that and 800 other things. If they heard that once a week,
yeah,
that would totally keep them coming back. But then, you know, and Ashton's a great kid. You know what I mean? He's a great kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For him to even start to think or process that, and I'm sure there's a lot of other kids out there that think the same way, but he hit it at the right time. He said it at the right time, and it struck a chord with us for sure. For sure. It made us want to work even harder
mm-hmm.
for the kids in Catan. So,
I think the best part about this podcast that we just recorded is that I have not mispronounced anyone's name.
Yet.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you didn't press the record button.
Oh, well.
Because how long do we have now? How long have we been talking?
55 minutes.
Oh!
Ian has definitely missed an appointment since we started talking.
It was a hair appointment, but it wasn't anything important.
Well, hey, you know what? 25 podcasts?
Pretty cool.
Here's 25 more.
Yeah. Here's a 25 more. That's right.
And thank you for whoever is continuing to listen.
Yeah.
For listening to this.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
I want to change my name to Gunter at some point, but...
Sean? Von Hines?
No.
Paul.
Okay, let me start.
Because I've always said that Beatles songs are like Seinfeld episodes. You can never say, like, that's my favorite one.
That's
you know,
true.
You can never have a favorite.
There's so many.
Though,
I don't know if I've ever said I have a favorite Beatles song.
Though my favorite may be My Guitar Gently
Weeps. Mine too!
I will take on the role as district chairman, and I'm very excited about the new position and getting more involved with the district and learning a lot more and helping the district grow and grow scouting.
A rabbit shoots out and hits my leg.
Literally shot out. I mean, it came out.
Now, we know that a rabbit is a harmless. When it's going 100 miles an hour and it hits your leg, you have no idea what it is. It could be a coyote or a fox or a mountain lion. I like, they heard me scream on the other side of the park.
It was a primal yell.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I know a lot of our followers, so our moms, will be listening to this. And it won't be that big of an audience.
Oh, whatever.
They'll be proud of
Hopefully
us.
Somebody will, you know, Ellen, because...
What do you want to continue doing in scouting? You're in third grade, mm-hmm. and you can be in scouting all the way up until, you know, you're my age. What do you, or in older, what do you want to keep doing in scouting?
Well, what I really like about scouting is the people and all what they put in to make these kids Cub Scouts mm-hmm. and Boy Scouts. Because it just takes a lot of heart to do it. But I want to really stay in Cub Scouting because I get to be with my friends and do many things together.
Not with the Mallards.